Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Tropft uns den Regen auf mein Kopf. Hink wie ein Deckerbus, ist die kleine Fahrt im Kopf. Geht mir kein Sach mit, die Tropft.
Hey everyone, welcome to Kill Me Now with Judy Gold. I'm your host, Judy Gold, and this week we have part one of my interview with Jenny Zagrino, who is, she's a Gen Z person, and really interesting, and fun, and smart, and that's right. So you're going to love it. You're going to love part one, you're going to love part two, and I love you for listening. I also want to say that this week is my final week until October that I'll be performing in Provincetown. So I have a show Tuesday tonight, August 29th. So sad. At 8:30, Thursday at 7 p.m. And then Sunday the 3rd. At 8:30 p.m. So if you're on the Cape and you're just coming for the Labor Day weekend, I'm here. I'm queer. Get used to it. Then I am in Arlington, Virginia at the Arlington Draft House on September 22nd and 23rd. Okay? So get your tickets for that. Go to my website, judygold.com. Follow me on Insta. And thank you all for your lovely comments about my profile in the New York Times. And I'm just going to be talking about that constantly, that I was profiled in the New York Times. Okay. What else did I have to tell you? Oh, I just want to talk about Trump. No, I don't really want to talk about him. Fuck him. Fuck all those Republicans. Fuck that Vivek fuckface. Fuck all of them. I just can't believe the shit. And Pence with the, I gave my life over to Jesus Christ. Okay, Jesus doesn't want your life. No one wants your life. You're annoying. And Chris Christie, he leans on the podium because he can't stand up. They're all a bunch of Nikki Haley. I have to say, don't agree with her, but she was the smartest one on that stage for that debate. And she tells the truth, and she's smarter than that. Vivek is like one of those guys you just want to punch in the face, Mr. Fucking, hey, I'm going to sell you this. And then blah, blah, blah. I hate him. I hate him. And then speaking of Gen Z, saying that climate change is a hoax, I can't fucking deal with these motherfuckers. I can't. It's really, I had to watch it, but it makes me aggravated. And fuck Trump. And I just, I don't know. Whatever. I can't even, you know, it's Labor Day week. We should, it's like the last week. It's not really the last week of summer, but like for many, it's the last week of summer. So I don't even want to talk about those fucking assholes, but they're just, that's what they are. Fucking assholes. Anyway, so that's it. That's all I really want to say in my opening. I know you're going to love this podcast. It's a little E, but it's really, really, really interesting. I love people with interesting lives and complicated lives. And you know what? You always find something. You think someone has it all and they don't. That was my mother just taking over my body. But anyway, I also want to say, speaking of my mother, that my mother's birthday is August 30th. And my mother would be 101, and I miss her every day. I miss you, Mom. And, you know, I think about my parents all the time. My father died in 1990. I think about him every day. My mother died in 2015. I think about her every day. I think about my friend Bob every day, and my friend Judy every day, and my friend Carol. Like, you know, people, they go, and yet they remain. You know what I'm saying? Very deep today. But anyway, enjoy your final week. This summer went too fucking fast. I'm telling you, too fucking fast. And that's it. I just you know what? Sit back, relax, and enjoy my interview with Jenny Zagrino. Ladies, gentlemen, and they, thems, because I do that now. I'm really hip. I'm all-inclusive.
You're an ally.
Yeah. And today on the podcast, we have, you know, I love the young female comedians because I'm no longer a young female comedian, but I'll always be a female comedian unless I transition. Anyway, very funny. You know, I don't find a lot of people funny. I find her funny. And I'm excited to talk to her about the business and how much it's changed since she was a little girl watching Comedy Central. Jenny Zagarino's here.
Hello.
Jenny Zagarino. Yeah, Jenny.
I am a young lady.
That's, you are. Yes. You're 36, are you?
36.
Yeah, you're a fucking baby.
Yeah, and I remember still when ovulating, spry.
Oh, shut the fuck up, Jennifer. Okay, just shut your fucking mouth. Well, thank you for doing the show. Where are you right now?
I'm at my place in Los Angeles. I'm here.
Do you enjoy the LA?
No, I hate it. I hate it so much.
Good. That's so, we're similar.
I hate it.
I don't hate it. I hate driving every fucking place. And I hate that everyone's in show business.
You know what? That's, to me, is like the, well, okay, everyone being in show business is pretty frustrating. I just feel like you, like as a comedian, you come here and you get worse. And then you just kind of go, well, I'm just going to melt into the fabric of this place and not exist as like a comedian and just, I don't know, being a person is very dumb. Why would I do that?
Right.
Why would I do that? I just want to be on stage. I don't know if I want to anymore. There's so much going on, Judy. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know.
You caught me at a real crisis mode.
Oh, good. That's what I'm here for.
Yes.
Jenny, let's talk about, because I really do want to talk about the business from your point of view, but I want to do that in part two because it has really changed. And I've read some of the things that you've said about it, and they're very smart. And I don't think a lot of younger comedians have a handle on the transition that's happening now. And you seem to be very aware of it. But I am fascinated by your life because You are the comp. Well, first of all, you're born in 1987, so I could be your mother because I would have been 24.
Please be my mom.
I already have two, and I can't.
Oh, that's all right.
But I think I'm a good mother.
I like my mom. She's a good one.
Yeah. I always thought I was always insecure about my mothering. Oh, wait, my kids. That's the Jew bell, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
And your mother.
No, earlier I had some salmon stuck in my teeth, and I was like, where's the Jew bell when you need it?
Yeah, there you go.
Boom.
Was it smoked salmon or just?
Just regular salmon. You know what? This is the most anti-Jew thing. I don't like smoked salmon.
Okay, well, that ends our podcast.
Goodbye,
and
everybody.
You've been fantastic. How do you not like smoked salmon on a fucking bagel?
I like smoked salmon, but I don't like the, different. The smoked salmon on a bagel, the lox, it's like wet and greasy, not into it.
Oh, my God,
love it. If someone took a salmon off a smoker, very into it.
I get what you're saying. I'm more of a Nova and not a lox. I really don't like salt anymore. I used to like salt as a kid, but now I'm done with the salt. So I get it, but I love that greasy feeling, slimy grease, because I feel like I'm getting fish oil.
Oh, yeah. Just
you know what I'm saying? And as a 60-year-old, the fish oil.
You gotta get your fish oil. Yeah. I get it. You gotta get it.
Okay, so you're from Minnesota. Your mother is Jewish.
Yes.
She emigrated from Russia.
Yeah.
Your father is a very conservative Catholic and in his later years became very religious. So
he loves the Lord.
He loves the Lord, but you're so Jewy. And yet I've read that you feel that you've gotten a lot of intellectual processing modes from your father, which fascinated me because the whole thing about Judaism is the way we think. That, you know, I was thinking, I read this thing where you said, you know, your father, you talked about when you're all going to die, what's going to happen. And he said, I want to face God and ask him and get answers. And the whole thing with Judaism is there are no answers. And if there are answers, there's a million answers.
I like that. I definitely think of myself way more Jewish than I do as like Catholic, 100%. Mm-hmm. And I think that my dad always had that like scholarly. He was like, if he was born Jewish, he'd be a rabbi kind of thing.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? He'd be like a cool rabbi making YouTube videos. Like that would be him. But he's gone all over the place. Every religion. I grew up with Judaism. I went to Hindu camp, Islam.
No way.
Catholicism. I grew up Buddhism. I grew up with all of it. So I think like having all that influence, and also too, I think just in my nature, I'm just kind of like, I don't have an urge to find big picture answers. It's never been like a.
But
I've never
that's
given
what
it,
I feel like your father wants.
He wants big picture answers. I'm like, my whole thing of like, why are we here? I'm like,
right.
I don't know. And why do I care?
Yeah,
I'm here and that's pretty dope. So let's work from there.
Yeah, I like that. And that's the way comedians think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We don't have the answer, but we have a way of communicating that there is no answer. And if there is an answer, maybe try it here. Okay.
Yeah.
So your father and mother, your mother came over from Russia and most of her family went to Israel. And she decided, no, I'm going to go to the United States. And you think she regrets that?
I think she missed her family for sure. I think she missed her family. But my mom's always been like super independent, Sagittarius, just very fiery lady, doing her shit, trust no one.
Wait, like, what is Sagittarius? What month?
Sagittarius is a fire sign. That's December.
December like 23rd
like that's
on?
That's going to be...
November to late December.
Yeah.
So
Jesus is a Capricorn, just so everyone knows. Just like
oh, okay.
Me.
Yeah.
Jesus
so,
is a Capricorn.
So that means Elisa, my lover, is a Capricorn because she's December 31st. You're also
she's
a Capricorn,
a
right?
Yeah. January 8th, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. What are they like? Because
We're earth signs. We're very down to earth. We're very much obsessed with like, yeah, but also your rising and moon have to have a thing, but I'm also very earth in that. So it's like, we like organization. We like business. Yes, we like, goal. Like we're very much like long-term goal people versus like short-term.
Right.
Sometimes a little antisocial, sometimes prone to things like alcoholism and depression.
This is all me answering for Elisa. Okay,
But also witty, really funny,
very witty, very dry,
very like super fucking loyal and social climbers. There you go.
No, not a social climber. Okay, so how does your mother, who emigrates from Russia and her family goes to Israel, where does she come when she comes to the United States?
New York City, baby.
What part?
The Bronx.
The Bronx. Okay, that would be the same as Elisa. Okay.
There you go. Bronx, then all the other Jewish family, they went to Brooklyn.
Right. Obviously. Now, how did she meet your father?
Oh my God, it's a fun story. So
okay,
my...
and what are their names? I couldn't find their names anywhere.
Okay, Larissa and Ken.
Okay, first of all, what kind of name is Larissa? We need to discuss that.
Larissa
is an Americanized version of something,
I think,
or no?
She changed her name. I think she had a Jewish name in Russia, but changed it.
Yeah, but Larissa always... is like an evangelical.
Like yeah.
He's like, let's like Joel Osteen. Like
she goes by Laura, but it's Larissa,
like Laura.
But she goes by Laura.
Okay, I don't get that.
But she changed. My mom has a lot of secrets. She's a very secretive
Jews
lady.
Jews have a lot of secrets, a lot of secrets. Okay.
So she, I think, in Russia had changed her name and was also super rebellious in Russia. She like burned her communist card and stuff. Mm-hmm. They met in New York. They met through friends, but my dad apparently, before he met my mother, had done a Ouija board with some of the Russians.
Oh my God.
And said that he would marry a woman named Lara, L-A-R-A. And then, like, I think a few months later, he was looking for an apartment and she knew the super at the apartment. And it's like, if you know the super, you get an in. So my dad, being a flirty little turd, probably flirted his way in and got the apartment.
Wait, but had they been dating already?
No, they didn't know.
They met at the supers?
Yeah.
So she's visiting the super because they're friends.
So it was like through a friend was like, go meet Lara. She knows the super. But before that had done a Ouija board that said he would marry a woman named Lara.
Okay, the fucking Ouija board. I did that when I was 11, by the way. I did the Ouija board when I was a little kid and...
you unlocked the spirits, didn't you?
It was just so fucking fake. But we used to get so like, I mean, it was so stupid. It's like, oh my God, it's moving. It's moving. Ah! And I didn't even do anything.
Did you guys do the mirror stuff like the Bloody Mary? I couldn't, when I was a kid, couldn't look in a mirror.
What's the Bloody Mary?
The Bloody Mary is like, as a kid, we did it at sleepovers all the time, is you would say Bloody Mary into the mirror three times. And then she was supposed to come out. And like EE or something.
And who was it, Mary, Jesus's mother, or just a random Mary?
No, I think initially, if you want to go to the lore of it, it's actually Mary Queen of Scots.
Oh.
Bloody
okay.
Mary.
Wow, Bloody Mary. Not,
who
like
killed
that.
All those Catholics.
Yeah.
No, killed Protestants. Right. I don't know. Who gives a shit? They're British. Yeah.
Hey everyone, did you know that Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States? And I'm one of them. You're listening to one of them. Fast Growing Trees has everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, house plants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and your space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. Forever. I just want you to know that I just got off a plane and I walked in my apartment. What was the first thing I did? Is I came in and said hi to Avi, my fig tree. I'm telling you, and I have Yael, which is another plant, but Fast Growing Trees has changed my atmosphere here in my apartment. You don't need a lot of space, but they do have, you know, they have stuff for outdoor spaces. But I live in an apartment, and I'm telling you, Avi and Yael, yes, they're both Jewish names, Hebrew. The space looks so much better. And I just had a conversation with Avi. Like, I was like, I missed you. I love having living things here. It's very, very, I don't know, it's made this more of a home. It's the best. And Elisa has some too. And she loves them. And she talks to them too. But she got that from me. Anyway, check out Fast Growing Trees. You need to be around plant life. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. You're welcome. Okay, so they meet and they get married. And yeah. Does your mother's family, how do they feel that she's marrying this Catholic man named Kenneth?
I think they were fine with it. I think, so she already had a kid. She already had my brother.
Oh!
So she had, from whom? From a previous marriage in Russia. Mm-hmm. So she already had my brother, and you know, of course, when she met my dad, said it was her nephew.
No way,
sneaky mommy.
How old was your brother?
I think it was 6 or 7.
So wait a minute. Did the husband come with her over?
No.
So was that an arranged marriage or what?
No. They just divorced in Russia, and then she was like, "I'm getting out of here."
And then did your brother see his father in Russia?
I don't think so.
Wow.
In Russia, yeah, but when she left, I don't think they saw each other.
Yeah, then he never
again.
Saw. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And what does he do? What's his name?
That guy?
No, your brother.
Oh, my brother. I was like, I don't know what his dad's name is. My brother's Dimitri.
Dimitri. Oh, God. Yeah. This is so from another country. Okay.
Dima.
Larissa, Dimitri. These are so not Jewish, but whatever. Okay. So she tells him that's the nephew, but that he's living with her?
Okay. You know what? My mom always would tell me, she'd be like, Zhenya, if you are sleeping with another man and your boyfriend catch you, you say, I don't know. I don't know why he here. Who is this? You deny, Zhenya. Deny. And I'm just like, Mama, okay.
Okay, not going to work here. Okay.
Oh, just straight up deny. Yeah,
that's hilarious.
It's
okay.
100%. She's just like, no one needs to know your business. Never tell anyone your business. But, you know, this is what I do for a living now.
Right. Tell everyone every detail of my life. Okay.
All
so
of my
you
business.
So then they get married.
Yeah.
And how long are they married before they have you?
So they're married 10 years, but between that they have my sister Sasha.
Right.
In 85.
Mm-hmm.
And then I come along in 87, and then they divorce 3
right
years
after.
Later.
4 years?
3.
3. Wow. Do you remember that?
Not really.
That's interesting because
my sure
younger
it's some stored
son,
trauma in my body. Somewhere.
Yeah, of course. My son Ben was 2.5, and Henry was 7.5. Henry remembers everything, and Ben remembers nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
which one of them has done the most therapy?
Oh, that's good. You know, they both have gone to therapy, but Henry, the one who's had the most difficult time, has shunned therapy more. Ben is a psychology major because he said he's the only normal person in a family of crazies.
That is so interesting. That's how I feel. So Ben's the youngest one, right?
Yeah. But I
That's
felt like
I
that
feel.
In my family, even though everyone thought they were all normal on the outside, and I was this crazy person, but I was also the identified patient, like, she's crazy. And it's like, no, actually, Not really.
I'm the identified patient, right? Because I go to therapy,
right?
And I've done the work, and I've been like, hey, you guys have like some real problems. And they go, oh, I think my dad at one point was like, you know, Jen, you've been going to therapy for 20 years and you're still not cured, huh? So is it really working?
God, shut
and just
up.
Like, okay.
My parents went to therapy. My mother was always into therapy. They were very open. My father was like, yeah, but he went. Okay. So they get divorced. Mm-hmm. And when did you move to Minnesota?
I'd always lived there.
Left the Bronx and went to Minnesota. Why did they go to Minnesota?
So my dad had gotten a job. He had just gotten out of law school.
Oh.
And got in with a firm in Minnesota.
Okay, so, what kind of law?
He does contracts.
Nice. That's great for you. That's great for you.
Yeah. Except none of it's entertainment contracts.
Oh, well, okay. And then they get divorced. Do you see your mm-hmm. father regularly?
Yeah. My dad and I have a very good relationship.
Okay.
You know, besides the very obvious issues.
Right. Of you being this
liberal,
crazy
Jewish,
Jew
lefty
and half
lady. Yeah.
Right. Is Sasha more like your father? Like,
yeah, Sasha was definitely more like my dad. So just full transparency.
So Sasha's not here anymore.
Sasha passed away 2 months ago.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I think I read that and then I didn't write it down.
It's fine.
I am so sorry. No, because I did research and then I stopped and then I started again. You know, I have to say, I did read that. That losing a sibling, I've had a lot of friends lose siblings because I'm old.
Yeah.
And no matter what age, you know, it's different. I mean, I have no parents. I've lost my best friends. But I can't, you're probably so in this deep in this grieving process right now.
It really comes and goes. I will say there was like, if you talked to me a month ago, I was like, I'm quitting comedy.
Right.
I'm quitting.
But you
life.
Say that a lot.
Oh, well, I do, but right. Like now comedy in stage time is now the reprieve. It's like the moment I get to be like just
you.
Fun and lighthearted and me. And so I enjoy it now. Do I still want to do it? I don't know. We're all trying to figure some shit out now.
No,
but this
I
is
always
before
want to do it.
Even,
yeah, but.
Yeah. This is even before Sasha passed. But
how
she,
are your parents doing?
Oh, they're not
terrible.
They're not doing well. Mom is taking it very hard. Dad again loves the Lord and has, I think that is a great thing that religion gives people, and that you have it is like kind of a nice guidebook, which like I will say we sat Shiva and mm-hmm. Shiva is fucking awesome. Shiva's great.
The best.
Like, for healing, oh my God, to just have people around you for 7 days straight, eat, talk about funny things that have nothing to do with the grief, talk about the grief, talk about the person, and just like have this incoming flow of energy. Like Jews do grieving right. They get it.
150%. And then if you really follow it, it's like I remember when my father died, both my parents, after they died, there's this custom after the Shiva that you walk around the block. On the last day when you're ending the Shiva, and it is a symbol of re-entering society, not as a mourner and just saying we're okay, but we're not. So then there's other rules, like for a month you're not supposed to, you know, listen to music or whatever. It's such a process, and I feel like Jews do death just, it's really well thought out. But it sucks. You know, my rabbi said after my mother died, you know, it's the presence of the absence.
Yeah, it is like the way I put it is it's cavernous silence.
Right.
All of a sudden, like, even if I'm like, I mean, I've been alone in my apartment before, but there's like a different kind of feeling of being alone in my apartment. That is like there is a cavernous feeling now of like an
emptiness.
Yeah.
And it's there. That's the dichotomy, that it's empty, but it's there.
And I think that like one of the things about this, it's so funny, is like, okay, number one, I love psychics. I love tarot reading. very right. into it. And one of my readers this year in January is like, there's a big adulthood of you happening. Like, you're becoming an adult. And I was like, oh, cool. More taxes, huh? And now that I've gone through this, I'm just like, oh, yeah. Like, grief is really what makes people go to the next level of like adult when you were like a kid and you were like, why is that adult so weird?
Right.
Why are they like that? And they're right. like, oh, they've seen mortality.
Right.
They've come to the edge. That's why. So it's,
you
like,
know, I
oh,
say
yeah,
that.
Okay.
I say that.
I'm
in
an
my
adult
show.
Now.
Yeah. I said that. I remember. It's so interesting that you said that because I always say, you know, life is a series of befores and afters. So you're, mm-hmm. you know, like, that was me before my father died. That was me after this one died, that one died, you know. And I remember my father died when I was 27. And I called my mother. I was at the, I was at a gig in Boston. And it was just a month or two later. And I called my mother and I said, I feel so old. And she yeah. said, well, you know, you lost a parent. And she yeah. said, how do you think I feel? I'm an orphan. And at that point, she was like 68, you know, eight yeah. years older than me. And I thought, but you're 68. I'm 27, you know. And she said that. And I thought, OK, well, that's a little over the top. But then I my mother was not well. And I was talking to Joan Rivers and she said to me, you know, it doesn't matter how old you are, but mm-hmm. it doesn't matter how old you are when your mother dies or your father dies. It's still, you know, it's the same. Even if you're expecting it, if you're not expecting it, it's,
yeah,
it doesn't matter. And I always remember my mother, and I never thought of my mother as someone, you know, they become people after the spouse dies that you don't want to yeah. know. Like, don't tell yeah. me that. That was something you were supposed to say to daddy. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but yeah.
I just, and for you to have to see your parents like this, it must be just devastating.
I mean, it's definitely like, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, okay. They're people and I have to, you know, there was definitely like I was doing the service. I was like getting services ready. I was doing all the kind of stuff that if my parents had passed, me and my sister would be doing. So it
right.
was like kind of this weird reversal and, you know, it was.
And what a connection.
It was like, you know, it's sad. There's nothing really else to say.
It's,
but like,
it's all sad, but she's with
you.
They're
all sad, but also.
She's with you.
It's just, oh yeah, 100%. I get signs from her all the time.
Yeah.
I get like really weird ones or like, you know, like we were in the car playing music and like with Spotify, it'll play like a radio thing. And
right.
we were all in the car. It was me. I have a little sister who's 15.
I know. I wanted to talk about her.
I know. We're going to talk about her. I love her so much. So like we were all in the car, her, my niece, and like we're doing DJ. We're just like, what song's next? Who has the next song? Who has the next song? And the next song that came on was like one of Sasha's favorite songs.
Right.
Just like randomly came on. It wasn't even part of like
right.
the radio
right.
feature. Like the two artists, it was Prince and then it was Amy Winehouse. And there's very little connection
right.
between the two.
Right.
And I was like, oh, everyone, Sasha chose. This is the one we're listening to.
It's just so amazing.
And of course, yeah, it was just like, it was nice. And it was like, you know, they get like these little hope. You feel good. And then you also are like, oh, I'm kind of sad.
I know.
Sad,
and then you wake up, you're like, oh, I'm okay. Oh, no, I'm not. Fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's I know. And people won't talk about grieving. And it is so important to talk about.
Sorry, go ahead.
No.
I feel like since this happened, it's like, I'm very much too like, I think this to me is very much Judaism of like, stuff happens for a reason. You know, you get guided in different places. You never know where you're going to go. And I feel like I'm not there yet. I know I'm not there yet. But this is definitely, and I felt it, like, when she died was like, oh, this is your job now, is to, like, tell this.
Right. And you'll like, you'll know. You have to wait. I think you have to process it.
I've tried telling jokes. It's been so bad.
I know. I did that
people
too.
People do not want to hear it. They are like, I just like little jokes. And it's just like, people can tell when they're like, oh, because, you're still in it.
Yeah, we don't want to hear this. I know. I talk about my dead parents, my dead best friends. And the audience is like, and I go, shut the fuck up. You know, like, I'm really comfortable with it. But when you get comfortable with it, it's fucking amazing because you can just be like, oh, fuck you. This is my story.
Yes. And then so like right after it happened, my dog, Lupe, she ate a bunch of amphetamines because she loves drugs. So
where'd she get that those from?
From a certain hotel in Las Vegas that I work at. Mm-hmm. She found them in the parking lot.
Oh, nice.
And ate them.
Right.
But she, like, I've been trying to tell that story because I think it's very funny. And people are just, like, horrified. I'm like, I didn't give my dog drugs.
Oh, my God.
She's alive. It's funny. But it is funny to think of a chihuahua on meth. This is a funny image. Come on, people.
You got a lot there. You just got to develop it.
It'll take some time.
And it's like, you know, most dogs, they go in the parking lot and they eat another dog's shit or a rock. And your dog is like, oh, there's amphetamines.
My dog's like, let's party. We're in Vegas. It's time.
Yeah, exactly.
We've had a rough month, Jenny. Do you want to do some drugs
And then the dog lost $5,000 at the roulette table. Okay, not funny, Judy. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
So you have a younger sister who's now 15, who you've been talking about for a long time. And she's your father and his new wife.
Yeah.
But you talk about, which I love, that she has older parents. I had older parents. My parents were 41 and 48 when I was born. And
I get it.
Yeah. But your sister's 15. She's now your father's second marriage. Is that right? Was your mother his first wife?
Third marriage.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
And you are very close with her. And you, I love this about you. You're obsessed with badass women, strong women. Do you consider yourself a feminist?
100%.
Okay.
100%.
And you love history, which I fucking love. Too, but
I was like, is she gonna say I fucking hate history?
No, I love history, but I love that you're so focused on, first of all, you love the 1880s.
Like the 18th century.
So I said
1780s. What's up? What's up, Revolutionary
18th
War?
Century. Okay.
Yeah.
And you're obsessed with these women. And you had a show. Can you tell a little bit about your show?
So I had a show on Comedy Central called Badass Bitches of History, and I chose like four women that I thought were really badass, and we just made like little sketches about them, and it was fun and interesting. My favorite one is Anne Hutchinson.
Mm-hmm.
So you know the Hutchinson Parkway?
Yes. Hutchinson River Parkway. Yeah.
Yeah. Named after her. She basically like stood up to the men of Boston, John Winthrop and all them, and was like, God spoke to me. And they were like, God doesn't speak to women, you dumb bitch. And then they took her and they banished her and her like 18 kids. It was probably more like 16 or 12.
Right.
Banished them. They went to Rhode Island, and then they ended up settling in an area near that is now the Bronx.
Right.
And they died there, and that's why we have the Anne Hutchinson Parkway.
I love that. I love that. Okay. Tell me about the woman who got into medical school. The first woman doctor.
Okay, so this is interesting. This one is interesting. It's a little divisive. And so I'm going to, because it also has to do with trans history.
Right.
Right. So at the time of making it, this person was seen by most as a woman who, you know, basically dressed up as a man to be able to go to medical school.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think it's kind of, it's not for me to say, okay? Again, you gotta get all the angles on this. It's not for me to say. I'm not a historian. Some people say that they are trans and are part of trans history, and some people say that no, because of the restrictions on women, they wanted to be a woman but couldn't practice medicine at the same time.
Okay.
So it's kind of like it's. I think
we don't
that there's,
know.
We don't know. I did like issue an apology for the video because some people got very upset, and I was like, you know what? I'm not here to hurt people. I'm here to educate. So if it didn't educate in the way,
come the fuck down. I can't take this with apologizing.
So I guess the way I see it is like, okay, I'm not a historian, and it's, there is evidence both. You can find evidence both ways.
Right.
Right. In their diaries, they had said how they longed to be a woman, to like be able to be a woman, and they still carried dresses with them. But on the other hand, you go, well, they did this for 40 years.
Right.
Like 40 years. And right. Then when they died, said, don't undress me. They got undressed. Then they died. They were undressed, and it was seen. Oh no! Like there's evidence they got pregnant at one point. Like we don't know because right. We didn't have the language.
But
for it back
as
then.
Long as there's people out there that can take time out of their day to force an apology from someone who is just trying to entertain and educate, that's all that matters in life. Is that they can fucking attack you? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I think it was for them, and I understand when your entire, like, and this was back in, like, what, 2016? So this right. was, like, or even before that. But, like, so, like, before, or 2018, I forget when it was. But, like, before all this stuff, when your, like, entire identity and who you are
right.
is, like, under attack and you're being erased from history, I get it, 100%
I understand get it. That, but you're not the...
I'm also not the one, like, I actually wrote it. I had my friend help me write it, who was a trans person,
right.
to try to make it as
accurate
and as, like, you know, as
pro-trans.
Kind as possible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's just that, you know, as more history comes out, it's going to change. And it could change either way. I don't know.
Right.
I guess I'm being very much in the middle because
you can't. That's all you can do.
Yeah,
you can't have it a fucking
and that's okay.
Opinion.
It's not my. It's not. I've not experienced that life and what it feels like
right.
to have, and especially now with
it's very mature of you.
Thank you, but especially now, like with
the
you know,
attacks.
All the attacks and everything. I totally get it, and I'm just like, yeah, you know what? If it's not adding to the conversation and it's making things worse for people's lives, then. All due respect, take it down.
Right.
I did attack moms on TikTok, and I said that, you know, they look like they've been dipped in vinegar for 10 years, and 300,000 moms came after me. Because
wait, moms?
So
in
I made
general?
A joke. I made a joke on TikTok that was like, me being like, oh, you know. Sometimes I look at other women in their 30s and say, there's no way we're the same age. They look, they've been dipped in vinegar for 10 years. And then I go, oh, it's because they had kids. And most people were like, ah, yeah, that's right.
That's
oh,
funny.
Whatever. Whatever. Oh, my. But then the moms got a hold of it. Whoo. I got.
Oh, shut up.
I got a tag. People were
oh,
like,
I know.
On
I
TikTok,
get
were like, tagging it. This ugly bitch. This.
Yeah, that's
what
nice.
I love.
That's nice.
I know. There's one woman who was like, it was like, how dare you shame another one's body, you fat bitch. And I was like, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did you just do, you fucking see?
So that one, that it's just like, it's, my friend and I got in this argument earlier, not an argument, but he's just like, he was like, I just wish there was nuance online. And I was like, you're out of your fucking mind.
No nuance on social media. Zero.
There'll never be nuance on social media. Never. And that's fine. Put out the most milquetoast shit to get people in the room. And when they're in the room, then I'm going to be like, okay, also here, by the way, here's fucking everything.
And if you here's don't like who it, I really am. Go fuck yourself. What about
I hate moms. I don't. I really like moms. I want to be a mom. Someone please come help me.
Please
do
come
that.
And insert sperm in
Jenny.
What about the woman I read about the woman who they were let her into medical school as a joke?
Yeah, so Elizabeth Blackwell, I love her story. Hers is fun. So she was let in. So basically Elizabeth Blackwell, her friend dies. I think of it was like cervical cancer. But at the time, you know, male doctors were like, I don't know what the fuck's going on down there. Like they honestly would do gynecological exams under a skirt and like look away.
Oh God.
Because they were like, this is your husband's. I can't dare look upon it. So she's like upset. So she's like, well, I'm going to go to medical school. Applies to like hundreds of places. They're like, no, you're a woman. You can't stand the sight of blood. You'll faint. And so she applies to this place in upstate New York. It's in Syracuse. And all the headmasters or the principal, whatever the fuck they are, were like, to all the guys, we're like, okay, this lady wants to come to school. We'll let her in if you all unanimously agree that she can come here. And then all the dudes were like, oh my God, let's fucking prank the shit out of this bitch and say yes. And so they did. And she's like, okay, I'm coming to school now. And
they're just like, no. They thought she would be like, no way.
Like, oh, I couldn't
and possibly. She graduated.
Yeah, this is Elizabeth Blackwell. That's how we got
there
her.
You go, you fuckheads. Yeah.
These pranksters. What a prank.
I loved Moms Mabley. I know that you loved Moms Mabley. And just the fact that she was a lesbian, everyone knew it. She dressed trans, and her character was this, you know, old sort of washwoman that she played, and yet she played it so well. She was so funny. She was very, I don't know if you know this, she was very good friends with the Kennedys.
I didn't know that.
Yes, she was really close with Jackie Kennedy. And she was fucking hilarious. And she, I don't know if you saw when she was on, I think at the Emmy Awards, and she was giving an award, and she starts talking, and then she goes, fuck it. She didn't say fuck it, whatever. And she took out her teeth. And she was so fucking hilarious and so well respected, and people don't talk about. But Whoopi did a documentary about her. Okay. Thank you so much for listening to part one of my interview with Jenny Zagrino. How interesting, right? Seriously, yes. This podcast, Kill Me Now, is produced by Laura Vogel, edited by Colin Schmeling, and marketed, posted, all that wonderful stuff by Brittany Jo Sowards. Richmond. Again, I mentioned in the beginning, I am at the Post Office Cafe and Cabaret tonight at 8:30, Thursday the 31st at 7 p.m. and on Labor Day, September 3rd at 8:30 p.m. And then I am going to go home for the Rosh Hashanah, and I'm going to go on September 22nd and 23rd. I will be going to the Arlington Draft House in Arlington, Virginia, vagina. So that's it. That's it for us. Also, happy birthday, 101st birthday. I don't say heavenly birthday because I don't believe in heaven. Jews do not believe in heaven. So, I mean, maybe some do. I don't. But I just, you know, I just want to wish her a happy 101st. Boy, would she be miserable if she lived to 101. Oh, I can't even think about it. Yeah, that's it. I don't even know what else to tell you. I love you all. Thanks to everyone who came to my show this summer. Thanks to everyone who comes to the show and tells me they love the podcast. I love all of you. Thank you to those who are listening to the end. You're true fans, because I can't even deal with myself. I'm so annoyed with myself. And that's it. Thank you all. Have a great week. Enjoy your families. Enjoy your friends. And as we always say, so long.